Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I'm so excited to be here this evening because we have a lot to bring to you all this evening. And we want to wish all of you all a very pleasant, happy holiday as you make your preparations. All right, we've got a lot to cover tonight. I want to really get to it. Question tonight comes from several of the younger generation that are asking the question, is the older generation failing our youth? All right, we're going to find out tonight and see what you all think. If you want to be able to speak to tonight's issue, please press 1 as we welcome our various co-hosts from all over. We're going to go ahead and welcome I believe we have B. Marie on with us tonight. B. Marie, are you there? Okay, perhaps not. Lady Lynn, are you there?
Yes, good evening and happy Thursday. Glad to be on the show and excited about the topic.
Okay, excellent. We're so glad to have you on with us. Pastor Rowe, we have you in with us this evening. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Okay, Lady, Miss J, thank you for joining us this evening. It's nice to have you on board with us.
Good evening, and I'm glad to be here once again with Dr. Walker, would not just be telling stories, but changing lives.
All right, excellent. All right, Miss Joyce, we're glad to have you here with us as well. Miss Joyce, are you there?
I am here, and good evening, everyone. Happy to be here and hope everyone is well.
All right. Excellent. Pastor Rowe, we had technical difficulties earlier, but I think we've got you now. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Okay. Can you hear me now, Dr. Walker?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Thank you for joining us. It's good to have you with us.
Great to be on.
Okay, excellent. Tonight's topic is the older generation failing our youth? Let me just begin. Before we give anything, I want Ms. J to go ahead and give a disclaimer for us, Ms. J, if you would, please.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ms. J. We really do appreciate that. So now we've given that disclaimer. And before we get any deeper into our program tonight, we're going to ask Lady Lynn to just give us an update. Lady Lynn, we do have the 30 gift cards. And we're eager to get them out. So if you just give us a little commercial break here before we get into tonight's program.
Once again, good evening. We are doing another gift card giveaway for the holidays. We're looking to bless some families and some individuals who may be going through hardships over this time of year. It's not always easy for folks. If you know anyone that you would like to bless, feel free to contact our office, and we will be more than happy to send those out. We're looking to bless 30 families. We were able to do 26 over the Thanksgiving holiday, and we're looking to do 30 over the Christmas break. Also, we're looking to encourage you to do the Toys for Tots. If you have a Toys for Tots in your neighborhood, in your community, drop off a toy, an unwrapped toy of $10 value or more, and bless a child this holiday season. We are looking forward to helping people in our community. We're looking forward to reaching out and helping those families that are in need or that might just need a little extra boost this season. And we're grateful and thankful to all our sponsors who made this possible. Again, we're doing our 30-card giveaway this holiday season, and it's thanks to all of you.
All right, excellent. So here we are with that. All right, I want to begin this evening by asking the question, is the older generation failing our youth? And then, Ms. Church, we're going to go to you first. What do you think? Do you think the older generation, I've heard people talk about the younger generation saying that the baby boomers are the ones that actually failed us. They actually failed us. So do you think that there's any validity or any truth to that?
I cannot say that I really believe that we have failed our younger generation. I think that if anything, they're spoiled. They have every opportunity that is afforded to them and more that, you know, not only our own personal children, but there are so many opportunities that are available to them. So I cannot really say that I feel personally that we have failed them in any kind of way. I'm not sure why they say that.
Okay. All right. Pastor Rowe, have you heard any of the younger generation say, well, it's the older people fault that the world is the way that it is because they have failed us, they didn't recycle, they didn't, many of them, you know, they talk about the older generation not recycling, but they want the younger generation to recycle. The older generation didn't have to go through climate change. They had all this emission and everything going in the air. They didn't do anything about that. What is your take on that, Pastor Rowe?
Well, the thing it is, you know, it's the older generation feeling our youth. We're making adjustments, you know, because, you know, the younger generations are crying out for help, and we have to learn to adapt to the needs and concerns of our younger generation, you know, whether it's in music, you know, that the younger generation like with a different kind of beat, you know. And when we reject it, I think it's a disconnect in being able to understand how a younger generation is thinking. But I think it's a progressive movement where the baby boomers are beginning and the, you know, other generations are beginning to understand and feel what's going through the minds of our millennials or younger generation.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Jay, I want to bring you in here. I mean, have you ever heard the younger generation say, well, it's you all fault. You all didn't recycle. Now you want us to recycle. You all didn't do a lot of things. You know, you didn't even prepare us for, you know, relationships. You didn't prepare us for parenting. Ms. Jay, have you ever heard this from any of the younger generation? I certainly have.
I haven't heard it, but I do feel that some of us older people are not have failed, but is failing our youth. Number one, we don't listen to them. And I sort of agree with Pastor Rowe. We don't listen to them. We do more talking at them than to them. We need to get, and we're not the new generation is so knowledgeable with the change, the rapid change in society and technology. Their knowledge is so strong, and what we used to do don't mean that, you know, their ways of thinking it cannot change or be done a different way. So I really feel we need to get more involved, learn more about the way they talk, their terminology, their interests, and stop criticizing them and get to know their minds and their way of thinking a little bit more.
So, Ms. T, am I hearing you say that we need to come to their level instead of causing temptation?
No, I said we need to listen. We need to listen. Just like a good example, like you just did me. I'm trying to explain how we should do the kids, but you are coming back at me with a derogatory way, so saying, well, are you saying I need to go to your level? No, I'm saying that we need to kind of get to that level for a minute. Open up. You know, listen. Don't criticize. Don't give your thoughts. Listen. Inhale. Listen to what they're saying. And between you and them, talking about different things and talk together, not talk at them, not question everything they say. Ask them, well, why do you say this? Well, why do you do this? Okay, I understand that. Well, what if? Let them explain things to you so you can understand the 21st century a little bit more. Time and things have changed so rapidly. I think the older generations are a little slow sometimes because a lot of us don't like change, you know?
Okay.
We have a fear of change.
You came right back and said the same thing that I was asking you. I asked you, are you saying, do we need to come to their level? And then you said, no, that's not what you're saying. But then you came back and said, we need to come to their level. So which is it?
Okay, well, maybe I'm serious. But, yes, we do need to meet them at their level. I apologize for that. Not to stay at their level, but, okay, just bring our thinking down to think like them for a second, like the music. Okay. Why do you like this type of music? What do you get out of this? You know, the beat is good, but what about the words they're saying? You know, so we talk with them, not at them.
I agree with that. But certainly, I don't know if I want to come to their level. But we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Benny from the block. Huh?
I say, it might be fun, you know, because we get all older. You know, you want to stay young in mind, too, but all youth is not bad. Keep that in mind. We keep lumping all of them together.
I agree. We're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, it's nice to have you with us. Good evening.
Thank you. Good evening. Happy, terrific Thursday. It's Thankful Thursday, so glad to be here tonight.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines early this evening, just before I go to tonight's story, and we're almost a quarter of the way through tonight's show. Let's go to Beverly, all the way in South Florida. Looks like coming from Miami. Beverly, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Good evening. Walker. Beverly, do you think that the older generation is failing today's youth?
I absolutely do. I don't think it's all of us, but I think it's too many of us. I mean, if you just look at what's going on in government right now, look at how the people in Congress behave and all of the important things that are not getting done, you know, because they're acting like two-year-olds. This is setting an example for our youth. One of the things I think about often is how we as a society look at getting ahead in life. And we're always telling our kids, you know, keep going. Don't give up no matter what. We do want them to be successful. But there also comes a time when maybe you don't need to give up, but maybe you need to step back from a situation, think about what you're doing, and change course instead of just walking with the thought of plow through no matter what, because it gives the idea of it doesn't matter who you step on. It doesn't matter, you know, what principles of yours that you have that you just ignore to get what you want. So,
Right. Yes,
unfortunately, I do believe that many of us are failing the youth, and it's gone on before in other past generations.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's take a look at tonight's story. Tonight's characters are Yelsey. Yelsey's one of our characters, and Xavier. And, of course, all of these stories that are presented are inspired by true stories. The names, of course, are always changed to protect the innocent. Now, these are stories that are all inspired by true stories. Yelsey and Xavier have been married for over 40 years. They have three adult children who are quite successful in their respective careers. Yelsey is 67 years old, a retired school teacher, and Xavier is 70 years old and continues to work as a director at a technology company. Now, recently, they had a discussion while having dinner that Yelsey feels that the older generation, which includes her, may have failed the youth of today. Xavier, puzzled at her expression, had no clue of what she was talking about until she clearly began to explain. Now, Yelsey could relate to her frustration because she spent 35 years as a high school teacher and realizes the shortfalls the students have in being prepared for the real world. Yelsey really cared about her students and wanted the best for them. Now, here are some of the thoughts Yelsey has that makes her feel that the older generation could have done more to help today's youth. And number one, she says, they could have done a better job at better preparation for parenting by educating on developmental parenting skills. Number two, teaching the youth on how to prepare a budget. Number three, teaching them about spiritual and moral values. Number four, doing a better job at assisting with their character education skills. Number five, teaching them about home finances and bill paying. Number six, teaching them more about savings and having an account for emergencies. Number seven, teaching them about dating and the early warning signs to look for in a relationship before making a commitment. Number eight, coaching or counseling them on the mechanics of making decisions. Number nine, educating them on marriage and divorce. Number 10, ensuring they get a quality education in order to better compete in a global industry. Number 11, educating them on protective intercourse and taking care of themselves. Number 12, preparing them on legal issues relative to understanding their rights, including their voting rights, as well as how to file a claim or register a complaint against a person or a company or an institution. Now that Xavier has heard Yelsey's concerns, he is in full agreement with her as he realizes their own children receive this type of training and preparation growing up in their home. Unfortunately, Yelsey and Xavier feel that so many other youth and young families are at a disadvantage because they are obviously not prepared to handle the day-to-day challenges along the journey of life. Now, let me go back and with Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, I mean, she lists 12 things here that the older generation, she feels, because of her being a high school teacher for 35 years, she feels that the kids are not prepared for today to be able to compete in the day-to-day global industry. Do you think that any of these 12, I mean, make sense?
They make sense, but you have to look at where is the root of the problem coming from. So back in the 60s, I think, or 70s, and we'll just take African-American families, for example, I think there were 20% of homes that were single-parent homes. Now that number has flipped. Now there's like 70, almost 80%. So now you're looking at homes with only one parent in the home versus two parents to balance the whole parenting act. And then that one parent has to work. So they're not able to be there to provide the child with all the things that they would normally be able to had it been a two-parent family. So time has gone on. The divorce rate in the single-parent homes, the breakdown of the traditional nuclear family is a lot of causes to why the children now feel like they've been failed.
All right, so are you saying, and I'm asking here, that just because there's not two parents in the family, that, you know, this is a contributing factor?
Yes, I'm saying that is definitely a contributing factor as to why the kids are not, why a teacher would see students and realize that they're not being taught at home the things that they once were, let's say, a generation or two ago, because there's not enough familial resources, let's be real. If the mom is the only one in the house or the dad is the only one in the house and he has to work, when is he having time? When is she having time to come home and instill all this stuff? There's not enough time in the day. Just it is what it is, you know what I mean? And
okay,
I'm not saying that's the only factor, but it's definitely a contributing factor.
Okay, so in that case, would you say then that the older generation, that parent, has failed her children or has society failed the children in that situation?
It's a societal issue, but it starts in the home. So the family, it starts at the base level, which is the family. The family makes up the society. So if there's a breakdown in the family, it ends up being a breakdown in society, but it starts in the home. It starts in the family.
Okay.
So the family ultimately failed the child.
All right, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is the older generation failing our youth. And we've got, this is a hot topic tonight. I want to go now to Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, so is there, I know, I heard what you said earlier, but could there be, now that you've heard this teacher, this former or this retired teacher's story, inspired by true events, now would you say that, as she lists some of these things, let's look at, she said they could have done a better job of preparing the kids for parenting by educating them on developing parenting skills before they even get out of high school. You have classes now that are called consumer science education, which is supposed to prepare them for that, but there's limitations. So I know that we all say everything starts at home. But what if the parents, Ms. Joyce, do not have the time, like Lady Lynn is saying? Then what's another recourse for those children?
Okay. Well, now that I've heard this scenario and story, some of it can be brought up that maybe this our generation, and because I would be in that generation of baby boomers, may have been lacking in some of those skills that needed to be discussed with their children. Not all of them, but maybe some of them. And it all depends, again, on the household dynamics and who is there in the household. When we grew up, we were like latchkey kids. We came home with a key around our neck and let ourselves in to get our homework done. There were no after-school programs or anything like that. So we had to pretty much fend for ourselves. So maybe we weren't taught those things. But as we got older, and most of us baby boomers were afforded the opportunity to go to college and get some knowledge and be prepared for, the next phase of our lives, which a lot of us did. So we probably have some of these skills and knowledge that we can pass on to our children so that they could be better prepared than we were when we were their age. And I think that it was been said about government and things like that come into play. We didn't have that a lot of that to worry about when we were kids, but now things have definitely drastically changed in our governmental areas. So there's a lot of things going on that we didn't have going on back then.
All right. So now that you've heard Yelsey's story as a former educator, as a former teacher, you're saying then that, I'm asking the question, is there a likelihood that the older generation has failed the youth?
In some areas. Not all. I would not say
okay.
All, and then it all depends
okay.
on
of course.
The family dynamics. Everybody was not brought up in a two-parent home, but then there were some that were, and so they were, educated to those things.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, let's bring you in here. Does a two-parent, and I know that this is not an inference, what Ms. Joyce, I don't think she's saying, and certainly, Ms. Joyce, you can help me out if you don't agree with this. Benny from the block, is there a likelihood that there's a guarantee more if a kid comes from a dual family as opposed to a single family, in your opinion?
Well, there's a whole,
Yeah, there's an old cliche that says two heads are better than one. So if you have two people that are parenting and they are basically, focused on, developing and growing up these children to be productive adults, yes, two parents are going to actually be able to double team things that would normally be difficult for just one parent to handle. So I believe that, yes, two parents do work better. Even co-parenting works better. But, single parent is a very stressful situation. And not only is it a very stressful situation, it creates a stressful situation for the children because no one's really there for them. And so they are becoming emotionally inept because everything they're learning is from the Internet, YouTube, social media, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no one to sit there and kind of help guide them through these types of difficult transitions from misinformation.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is the older generation failing our youth. These are some very vivid things that were pointed out by this teacher. Just think about it. Missy, I want to bring you back in and ask, and oftentimes you all, we may not be able to associate our own personal lives with our own personal children with some of the topics or issues that we're discussing tonight, but just on a general scale, Miss A, in your opinion, do you think that there are families that teach their children about a budget, preparing their children for a budget before they leave high school?
Okay, I'm going to try to shout this briefly because I've got so much information. I agree it's ideal for a two-parent home and all this stuff can be good. But I also think that if you're a single parent, that does not stop the kids from being able to do a lot of these things. And in your story and your topic, I want to say as far as this, the older generation may not be failing. I'm going to throw out an example. It depends on what class you're from, middle, lower class, your environment, as to how the child is being raised by the mother, father, by just one parent, or by a village, or by your grandparents. And sometimes, mm-hmm. I'm going to throw an example. You can have a single parent, but if you have a grandparent that is there for that single mother to help her out, that child, once again, this older generation is not failing in this case because she's there to be that backup plan to help that single mother. With all these things, how to study for education, your skills, always think about your budget, think about your future, savings and dating. All of that stuff can be taught from a single-parent environment. So I'm not going to put it on and say single parents can't do what a both parents can do because usually and hopefully they will have a village or somebody there, an aunt or uncle or nanny or somebody, or either they're laid on the corner that will sit on the front porch with you and talk to you about life situations, how you need to do things. It just depends on your environment, really.
Okay, all right. Thank you for that, Ms. J. We're almost halfway through tonight's program, and we've got a lot more to cover tonight, you all. And, of course, the probably one of the responses to almost any question, because there's nothing that, on a human level that's absolute. So, everything really is about it depends, because every situation can be different. There's variations of every situation. So it really depends, and we realize that. Once we realize that everything, the response to every question almost is, it depends, because there's no absolute when it comes to human fallacies and so forth and so on. All right, let me just go here, and I want to bring in Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, how important is it now? We're talking basically high school students, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. How important is it, in your opinion, that the child has to take some responsibility for learning these things? But then as you answer that, I ask you to think about this here. If no one has ever introduced a budget to them, how are they to know? If no one's ever introduced to them about character education, how are they to know? If no one's introduced to them about parenting, how are they to know? Pastor Rowe, quickly, please.
Okay, I'll try to answer it as quickly as I can. You know, Scripture talks about different things. You know, how to condescend to those of lower estate, and it speaks about the basic foundation and blueprint is the Bible. You can't get away from it. You know, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became old, I put away childish things, so on and so forth. And Scripture talks about training up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart. So we have to go back. Everything you need to know about raising children is in the Bible. I mean, that's my, you know, that's my belief. That's the foundation to, you know, parenting and raising up children. And people, the children are products of their raising. So that's the best I can. We have to reconcile Scripture to what's going on today.
All right, so we're going to actually stand by Pastor Rowe. Beverly, I want to bring you in because, I mean, a lot of parents are not as familiar with Scripture. A lot of parents, you know, they're looking for something practical. You know, these kids are, I mean, I don't see them where, even in the public school setting, you're not even mentioning Scripture. You don't mention Jesus. You don't mention God. It's not really allowed. So if they're not going to get it from home, so, and it's not coming from a lot of homes. It really isn't. So now, you know, we're looking for something practical, practical. We certainly know what the Bible says, and that is the foundation. But if the kids don't have that from home, and they're not going to get it in public school, so then where are they going to get it? Should they? I mean, the Bible doesn't talk about setting up a budget, Pastor Rowe. Does it talk about setting up a budget for children or for the next generation? It does indirectly, but directly, practically. Let me go ahead and, Beverly, let's give you that one. Tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Unfortunately, and I think it by someone else tonight, the kids will get it from the internet. I mean, that's where they go these days for everything, and everything is there. So as they go to the internet, they will take with them whatever foundation they may have from the home. They will take that with them to the internet. I don't say that they're always going to put that before them, but they will carry it with them. Unfortunately, in another aspect of this, the internet is based on what I was talking about earlier and how everything is so geared towards self. And I didn't say money, but I always think about Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, it's the love of mammon that is the problem. And in my mind, that's what it always goes back to. So that's, we're teaching our kids by example based on the love of mammon. And it's out there. Everything that they're going to look for, it's out there. It's not the greatest, you know, that we can offer, but it's out there, and they're finding it.
All right, we're gonna,
and it's hurting them.
We're gonna ask you to stand by. Lady Lynn, let me go back to you all, and we're almost halfway. We're almost done with the program tonight, you all, so we got to move a little faster, you all, please. I ask you all that kindly. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in here because, sometimes people are looking for some real serious, you know, practical responses or practical answers that they can actually learn something from. Okay, and let's take, for example, children. Are they getting education on savings and the importance of having an emergency fund at home? I mean, I don't want you all tonight, don't judge this necessarily by how you may have raised your kids. But let's look at the crisis that's going on with if you have ever tapped into the young people and how it seems, and we're not talking about all of the young people, of course we're not, but I'm talking about generally speaking how things are so imbalanced that there's not a proper balance even in our educational arena, because some of these children don't even know how the importance of a savings account. They can't even write a signature anymore because they don't teach in cursive writing in school anymore. So they don't know what a signature is. So are we really failing these youth today? because the education arena is changing and they're leaning more towards technology, and the kids can't, a lot of them can't even count to give you the proper change. Lady Lynn, what's your take on that?
Well, the educational system would need to be revamped or revisited to be able to figure out exactly where the disconnect or where the breakdown is taking place. But the fact that they have so much information at their fingertips, i.e. the Internet, there is a way for them to learn all this stuff, but they won't know what they don't know, so they wouldn't know what to look for. But once they figure out, okay, I don't know how to balance a checkbook, how do I do that? Google it. How do I balance a checkbook? How do I do this? How do I do that? So on the one hand, while they don't have, the educational system is not what it used to be, they have a place to find answers where we didn't always have that readily available.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Joyce, I want to bring you in. Ms. Joyce, if this is the case, that it's not necessarily these very things that Yelsey, the retired teacher, mentioned, then if that's the case, it sounds almost as if maybe the public school system that does not present this stuff, are they failing, or really can we blame the public school system? Or is it the parent? If that parent is so busy trying to earn a living to take care of the child, whether it's a dual family or a single family, then, I mean, what hope, what chance does that child or those children have to compete in a global industry?
You know, I agree with Lady Lynn, too, on this one, because the dynamics of families and the school system and everything has so drastically changed over the years. And pretty much the Internet, like she said, is teaching our kids what they need to know, and they take that with them. And a lot of parents, maybe they weren't brought up that way that they even know what to do. So there you have a situation where the parent may not even know how to balance a checkbook or do some of those things, depending on how they were raised. So then you have this Internet system and this whole new energy that is within our children and this whole new environment and everything that goes on in this 21st century. This is the new normal, I guess. I don't know. I want to say that the school maybe could do a better job, and maybe if they paid their teachers a little bit more, and maybe that has nothing to do with it, because a lot of people have morals, and you know, the kids should be better prepared from home and from school.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. I mean, you got so many schools popping up. Now we've gone from public school, charter school, private school, parochial schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, okay, my child is not learning over here, but then people can't afford always to put them in some of the top-notch schools. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. Let's go to 321-297, looks like Orlando. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hi, everybody. This is Mimi Walker.
Mimi, thank you for
calling
joining
from
us.
Orlando.
Okay, Mimi from Orlando. Thank you for joining us, Mimi. What's your take on this? I mean, it sounds like, you know, the question is the older generation failing the youth? I mean, it's, you know, this story really touches me. Go ahead.
Well, at this point, I'm not sure who would be included in the older generation versus the younger generation.
All right.
But I'm a young, well, first of all, I would have to say, if we're talking about older generation as far as our grandparents and things like that, you know, people like over 60, then I think that maybe they didn't know. Some of them did not know certain things, you know. Just, you know, how long has it been since, you know, we've been able to, especially in the Black community, been able to really pursue things that we want to do and to, you know, grow financially. You know, we probably have not had that opportunity in a long, especially after when we had those opportunities and were able to do certain things, you know, a lot of our towns and our places were burned down, you know, for prospering. So I think that this current generation, though, more so in the 30s and 40s who are raising kids, we do have an opportunity to educate them better financially. And I do agree that there is a lot of information online now for that. But the thing about kids is, like, they necessarily go look for that information because it's not of interest to them. Because, Mike, I have younger kids, and they're online a lot, but they're not looking for that information. What I think is a good way to go is to make your everyday activities part of a learning opportunity. For instance, money affects us in every way that, you know, you can imagine. No matter what is going on, you're going to have to deal with finances if you want to or not. So we do regular things every day. We go to the grocery store. You know, we budget for that. We buy Christmas gifts. We write checks. You know, those that write checks. We use credit cards, those that have credit cards. We get paid. We have a paycheck. You know, all of these things to me are learning opportunities that could just be part of your regular conversation with your kids. First is really exposure. Have a conversation.
Right. We're going to actually stand by Mimi in just a second. But just before you go, we're going to go to Miami again. In just 1 second, you all, we are going to indulge, ask you to please be patient with us. I know that you say that they have technology. Some of you all have said that they have technology at their fingertips. So are you inferring or suggesting or implying that technology should teach these kids when they don't necessarily have an interest in knowing what to even look for? Mimi, help me with that quickly, please.
No, I'm implying that we need to teach our kids on a regular basis as part of a regular living, day in and day out. Talk to them about, you know, getting, you know, receiving your paycheck and what you have to think about, the bills that you pay, how credit card works. I'm using this credit card, but, you know, there's going to be interest that's going to be incurred, you know, later on that I'm going to have to, you know, pay for, you know, how student debt type of, you know, student financing your college education works. It doesn't just happen. You have to find money to go to do these things. You know, talk to them about just regular things, going, like I said, to the grocery store or opening a bank account, you know, because you have bank accounts. Take them to the bank. Show them, you know, okay, this is my, you know, credit, my savings and my checking. Just every day that we already do, make sure that we have a conversation with our kids about those things.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by Mimi. We're going to go with Jack.
They can get into the internet.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by Mimi. Points well taken. I mean, you know, I like what she's saying because the school should be taking them on reality field trips, like to the bank, like Mimi just said. Should be taking kids on a field trip to the bank, letting them see what goes on. But why would they do that when they don't even teach in cursive writing in the school? They don't even teach timetables anymore. Let's go to Jackie in Miami. Jackie, thank you for your patience. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Dr. Walker. I just wanted to make a few points. Great topic this evening. First point, we all are failing the children because in some way or the other, we're affecting them. The system is, like you're saying, but also we're listening to you all speak. Are we living in Overtown or in one of those underprivileged areas? I guess most of us are either college graduate, university graduate, or something of that nature. So we're looking from a different scope and looking at this situation here. I'm speaking from experience because I work with a lot of young people. I'm not a teacher, but I work with young people. And recently, you know, we had the stimulus, right? And a lot of people, instead of taking that stimulus money, of course, you know, they got it for themselves, and they had a spouse, this spouse, and their children. Well, you and I probably would have said, you know what, we're going to take $1,000 and buy some groceries, maybe do some things around the house, and all the other funds that's left over, we're going to put it in the bank and save it for a rainy day. They didn't do that, and I'm speaking from experience with a few persons that I know, and one of their relatives passed away, and they were looking for money. I'm like, why are you all looking to others for money when you got stimulus for 5 or 6 persons in your home, your sister or brother got for 3 or 4 in their homes, and if you add that all up, what did you do with the money? I'm appalled. Where's the money, you know? I would think differently, and you probably think differently, but they don't. They think about, hey, I need to go up there, and I need to purchase some food, or I need to get my nails done.
my hair done, et cetera, or go in Ross and spend the money instead of thinking about the future next week or what have you. And that's the issue we have with even the children. All they are seeing is the here and now, survival mode, and that's how they're living. And a lot of them, from what I can see, they don't even have a bank account, which also amazes me that they, a lot of them do not have an account where they can put deposit funds in. Is it because they have Section 8? Because we're talking about trying to bring our kids up in the public school. For the most part, most of them are in those homes where they don't have the assistance that most people that are degreed would have, right? So I'm speaking to that group of persons, about that group of persons, right?
Right.
So if we look at that, we have to say, we have to look at them as where they're at, and we have to try to go and meet them where they're at and help them. We can do all the talking we want on the phone here or in a group session or what have you, but it takes more than that. We have to reach the people, and we will have to go out and help them. We'll have to find a way to talk to the senators or whomever to see how they can implement something into the schools to help the children, because they don't know and they won't know. Prime example, last case here, prime example, in the Bahamas. I'm from the Bahamas originally, but when COVID started, they gave all the parents, the children, tablets, as well as here. Do you know those parents were trying to do those tablets? I know most of you know, if you're teachers. They were trying to sell them rather than putting their kids on Zoom to learn. They wanted to make money of it because they knew it had some value, more than $100. Then what they did, they allowed the children to run wild in the streets. The government over there was complaining that the kids were not coming into class and the teachers were waiting on them. But the public and the private school kids, where do you think they were? On Zoom. That's the problem we have. The importance of education and life, it's not there, and it starts from the parents. Yes, some of them have to work, and some really were hoping that the kids were on because they were at work. But again, there's a disconnect. And we can go on because this is a great topic, but I know for time we need to cut it. But I just wanted to bring those few points to you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Jackie. Just before you go, I want to ask you this question. So, Jackie, the question is the older generation failing our youth? I mean, we talk about the school system, we talk about the parents, but if the parents don't know themselves, I mean, you know, next time any of you all, I challenge you, ask a high school student that basically is not in a charter school or a private school. Just ask them, do you know anything about a budget, a household budget? And let's just see what they say. Let's just see what they say and ask them to tell you what's on their budget.
Right, and I think that some of the older people are not helping the situation, but some of them don't know themselves, and they're just living paycheck to paycheck.
So somewhere, we got to take some of the comments. Jack, we're going to ask you to stand by. Many of you all, we're trying to get to you as quick as we can. We do want to hear from one of our sponsors. We want to bring in Sis Margie. Sis Margie, we're going to give you an opportunity to give your commercial, but you got about 22 seconds. Sis Margie, thank you.
Wow. Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening, Pastor Roll, and all your co-hosts and everyone on the show. My name is Margie Allen Cross. I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the largest company in the world. And to give you my information, my website is www.sisterlove.isagenix.com/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. And let me repeat it, www.sisterlove.isagenix.com/collagen, C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Or you could go to Better Yourself for more information and tell them you heard it on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Thank you.
And thank you. That's one of our sponsors. We're so grateful for. Let me go to Benny on the block right now. I want to bring you in. We've got a number of comments. We've only got about 15 seconds, you all, to give these comments tonight, you all, before we close out. Let me go here. Benny from the block, you've got this first one here. Mel, he writes in, he says, I'm 36 years old and clearly think that the older generation has failed many of my age group because they have not done a good job in preparing us for the challenges that we are facing, especially financially. Benny from the block, what's your take on that? He's 36. He said that the older generation has failed him.
And that's true. I am mentoring a 36-year-old young man right now, and he has mentioned that to me on more than one occasion. He brings it up on a regular basis. And there's so much just basic stuff that they really, really need to get a grasp on this thing called life that they just don't have, and they don't have the tools. So it's true to a certain extent. There are some others who are doing very, very well. They were able to maneuver and figure out how to do it. But a lot of them, particularly our males, are just stuck and stagnated. So I'm going to keep doing the best I can with helping and assisting. And I hope if there's a thousand more like me that could do it, we could make a little dent, but we just go one day at a time, one person at a time, and one victory at a time.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Mimi, I want to bring you back in and ask you this question here, Mimi. I mean, the same question, this 36-year-old, he's clearly called them out and said that you all have failed me. That's what this 36-year-old is saying. But Mimi, at some point, doesn't he, he's 36. I mean, why can't he get it for himself right now? He's 36. Sounds like he's still blaming someone. Your take on that quickly, Mimi, please.
You know, it's hard to say because I don't know his situation, but even at 36, when you become an adult, there's so much responsibility that you have to take care of, and it gets real out there. So sometimes, you know, people don't have time to figure it out, you know, by that time. So at 36, that's when things probably settle down a little bit more. You have family, and then you realize you made a lot of mistakes, you know, because you didn't know. You didn't know any better. And so some people end up in that situation at that age. But thank God there are programs out there. There is information out there now. That's something that I'm very passionate about. I work with the youth, and financial literacy is definitely one of the things that we focus on. Parents just need to start. Even the ones that are making bad decisions, they know they're making bad decisions. Have a conversation with your kids. Tell them you don't want to be in this situation. You know, when you get to be an adult, you know, you could do this differently. You could do this better. Even if we don't have money, but we can make choices. Even if you're living from paycheck, you can make a budget, you know, with that money that you have. So there's things that we can do. And I do agree also the school system, we do need to send our leaders for, you know, to make sure that financial literacy becomes part of the education that kids are receiving, even as young as elementary school.
Right. Mimi, we're almost out of time, but I got to ask you this here. Mimi, how can we help that 36-year-old if he doesn't even know where to start looking? He doesn't even know where to start looking. And by the time he looks over here, he realizes he's missed 7 to 10 different things that other people in his age group that went to maybe different schools or had come from different families or environments, that they have an advantage over him. So now that's frustrating. And you could see how now even a 36-year-old could become depressed and feel like they missed out a lot because they didn't know. Mimi, just quickly, your take on that.
And that's why, you know, first of all, you got to pray. You know, we always have to, you know, pray and ask God to kind of guide us and give us, you know, direction. But also, you know, there's mentors. Just like, you know, this young man is being mentored by someone who knows, there's around that you can talk to, people at your job, people at the church, you know, people that you like, you know, they seem like they're doing okay, they're having it together. You know, just ask a few questions. I know sometimes people don't talk about money, but we need to start talking about money.
Okay.
We really do.
We got 4 minutes before we bring the show to a close tonight. And tonight we're going to ask Ms. Jay to close us out in about 3 minutes. Ms. Jay, will you close out in about 3 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Let me go to Pastor Rose. I want to bring you in. Pastor Rose, we got 15 seconds to respond to all these here. Here's another comment. This female says, I personally think my mom did her best with the knowledge she had at the time. I think the important thing in life is teaching your children morals and values and how to properly take care of yourself. She did that, and today I am a successful teacher, which is exactly what I have always wanted to be. So, Pastor Rowe, just quickly here, 15 seconds or less, how important are the morals and values and taking care of yourself, which is what her mother did?
Well, morals and values is very important, and knowledge is important, you know. A lot of people say knowledge is power, but that's not totally true. Applied knowledge is power. And I was very attracted to the Blog Talk Radio show that came through Marjorie Cross. I was impressed with the teachings that you are teaching, Dr. Walker. And I would encourage people with the newsletters that we have. I mean, that's powerful. And you keeping up with the current issues and the things of the times. And it shows people how to navigate through today's economic encumbrances. You cover all areas on those newsletters. So what I just encourage everybody that's on this show and become a sponsor, you know, helping people. That's what sponsorship is all about, helping others. Together, teamwork, make the dream work. Together, each achieves more. So let's encourage people to take advantage of these newsletters that Dr. Walker has orchestrated. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Pastor Rowe. And Pastor Rowe is he's actually our director of sponsorship, and Marjorie Cross is his assistant director for this organization, and we thank him for his contributions and sponsorship as well. Let me go now. Jackie, I want to bring you back in just quickly. You got 15 seconds. We're almost out of time. You all near threatening me over here already. This female writes in, and she says, I don't think the older generation has failed today's youth because I don't think the youth even listen to the older generation. Jackie, is there any truth to that? Quickly, please.
Yes, there's a truth to that. Some of our young people, there are some of them who are willing to learn, and there are a lot of them who just want to do what they want to do, and they want to stay on Roblox and Minecraft and all these other silly things that's not giving them any type of education or anything to empower or advance themselves. So, yeah, some of them are stuck in a different world.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to we're going to go to Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, we've got just only a few seconds here, and we're going to bring you this one here, this comment, this mail. He says, all I can say is good luck in trying to tell this younger generation anything. They think they know it all. Lady Lynn, what do you say to that?
There is some truth to that, but just because they think they know everything, it doesn't mean we should stop trying to teach them.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. George, I want to bring you in with the same comment. I read on someone's refrigerator say, if you want to know something, ask a teenager. They know everything. What do you think about this here? Some of the younger generation, what do you do when they're just not listening? Ms. George, what do you do?
You know, all you can do is keep talking to them because, like it was been said, they don't want to listen to what we have to say because we've been there, most of us. We have the experience, and we have been through some of these trials and tribulations. So we want to tell them what we know, not what we think. But they think they know everything, so they don't want to listen to us. And a lot of them get in trouble because they don't.
All right, Beverly, we're going to bring you in here with this next comment. Female, she says, I think the difference in generations is the fact that older people listen to their parents to stay out of trouble. The generations today appear to want to find out the hard way. Like my grandmother used to say, you have a hard head. Beverly, what do you think about that? The older generation listens?
I don't really agree with that, the person who said that. I think the same thing happens in every generation. That's pretty much how I would respond to that. I just don't agree with it. If we really
okay, need that, actually, stand by. Jackie, we're going to give you the last one, and then Ms. Jay is going to close it out. Jackie, this male writes in, and he says, I think today's difference is the fact that parents are afraid to spank their children to discipline them. This worked very well for the older generation growing up. Jackie, what's your take on that? They're scared to spank their children? Really?
Some of them are scared, and I don't think it's fair, but because of the government and what they have in place, they can be arrested. I know this young lady that I've been working with her children, and her son called the police on her, and they locked her up, and she was in jail, you know, for a few days for just her child calling without them understanding because they called. So I can see a parent being afraid to address situations because these kids have the system on their side, and they just need to, when they do that, it affects them.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're clearly out of time, you all. Those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight, we do apologize. I ask you to call into the show at least 10 minutes early. Press 1 if you know we want to chime in. Tonight's topic was, is the older generation failing our youth? And now Ms. J is going to close us out. Ms. J.
Okay, thank you. The older generation at times, they may or may not be failing us, the youth. But it depends to me on how depends on that particular youth and environment and upbringing of that youth. And the more help I think that we give on life issues at an early age to these youth would be a better benefit to them, to give them that life knowledge. And always, and that will help them before failing. And that is the key, to help them before they fail. And don't wait to the youth. Don't wait for someone to tell you how to succeed in life. Strike out for yourself. Try to find answers for yourself, because the man waiting alone will never find his way. Thank you.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. Listen, I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. We thank our sponsors out there, you all, and the people that we weren't able to get to. Please continue to tune into our show. Tell others about it. Look, join us here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock when the topic is going to be, you don't want to miss this one. You think this one was hot. Tomorrow night's topic is man failing God and humanity? That is a deep topic you don't want to miss. You want to call in early enough. Is man failing God, the creator, and humanity? Join us here tomorrow night. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be here Saturday morning, 6:30 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, when we've got a theme that you really don't want to miss. That's our International Divine Intervention Day program, where we're praying that God will intervene into the affairs of humanity. And we see it happening since we've been on this air over a year now doing the same type of program. Listen, join us here tomorrow night. Is God failing man and humanity? Or if you choose to bypass that, we'll see you Saturday morning. Or if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until tomorrow, until next Saturday, or until next week, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker. And good night, Pastor Roy, and good night, all your co-hosts and everyone on the show. God bless you all. Great show. Thank you. Bye.
God bless everyone.
Okay, though. Bye-bye.
Great show. God bless you, my girl.
Yeah, thank you. Great show, Dr. Walker, as usual.